Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
On the line is Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app and catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sunday from 11 to 1 p.m. leading you right up to the kickoff on the BetMGM network right there on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
What's
Nick.
Going on, guys? How are we doing today? Happy Thursday.
Yeah, no news going on in the world today about the NBA or anything.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups being arrested by the FBI for various betting offenses. The Rozier one actually seems to be, obviously he's directly influencing things on the court where he's dribbling the ball off his knee, reportedly, and there are videos of this all over social media where Rozier is potentially, and, the NBA did investigate him and clear him, so I'm fascinated to see how this is going to play out.
I thought that was interesting, too, yes.
Yeah, where we'll see about Terry Rozier, did this happen, did it not happen? Just an accusation for now, and for whatever it's worth, maybe nothing. Terry Rozier's attorney just put out a statement saying basically that, he was cleared by the NBA and the FBI, basically had a photo op here today of them perp walking Terry Rozier when he was cleared by the NBA. So we'll see on that one. The Billups one, to me, has, It's grouped in because it's illegal, because it's a great headline. Sitting head coach arrested for illegal gambling. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with sports betting. He's in the Tony Soprano executive card game. It's a poker game. That's the mafia involved. It's something out of a movie, but it's not sports betting. He's not betting on the Blazers. He's not betting against them. So to me, that story and the Rozier story are only related in the sense that they're both involved in the NBA. And that both of them are involved in illegal gambling. But the Billups one, again, is poker. It's not sports betting. So I don't want to say it's being misreported. It's sensationalizing for headlines. I would do the same thing if I were these outlets because it's really eye-catching, right? And it's really interesting. I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing because it is more than that. But I kind of think it's going to be business as usual moving forward. And maybe I'm pie in the sky, but that's my opinion.
And we're still waiting to kind of see exactly how Billups might be tied to all this whole thing. We know he was arrested, but we don't know maybe what role he played playing.
It seems to me, again, with the information that's out there now, and things can and I'm sure will change, that Billups is involved, with the mafia, these are their words, not mine, with an illegal poker game. Which I'm sure is a really high risk poker game that you are not allowed to do these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It's not that he's betting on the NBA or that he's influencing his team to win or lose. Again, maybe that comes out, but right now, that's not what this is. So okay, great. You can't do that, but to group him with Terry Rozier kind of makes it seem like they're doing the same thing, and the initial reporting says that that's actually not accurate as far as Chauncey Billups goes.
Hmm. I don't, we talk about this all the time, and obviously this is your business, but it also seems like it's so much easier for the leagues to be able to follow the money trail to see when there's a bump because they're now. I mean, a lot of people might say, well, they shouldn't have legalized gambling. Shouldn't have. But I mean, to me, it seems like that they've made it easier to find corruption because they've said, okay, we're going to embrace this and we want to let our fans be able to do it, but we don't want our employees to do it.
Yeah, look, I mean, like the John Tay Porter thing, right? Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason why that got flagged is because there were like tons of bets being placed on these really small specific markets, moving the market, and then all the bets won. Like, if it were not, and this is not me like caping up for legalized sports betting, just like it's the truth that because sports betting is legal, it's way easier to find out when stuff like this is actually happening. And people out there listening can get really mad about that. Like, it's the truth. And look, let's call a spade a spade. Like, I'm sure there are some aspects of legalized sports betting that are really bad. Like, if people, like, young people are betting on sports, like, obviously that should not be happening. It's why, like, we're really careful on my show. Bet responsibly. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Like, if you have an issue. Like, these are all things that are true, right? Like, there are potential issues here. But, like, it's a slippery slope. Okay, let's ban alcohol. Like, why is marijuana legal?
Yeah, we tried all that stuff.
And this is not me. I'm not trying to extol the virtues of it. It's not all good. And I'm not ostrich head in the sand about it. Just that I think, like, it becomes a slippery slope where it's like, okay, great, this shouldn't be legal. Then, like, why is alcohol legal? Then, like, do away with everything. And, like, let's have a Puritan society and, like, okay, fine. But I think people are kind of, like, picking and choosing here. And, again, like, the Billups thing is not a sports betting thing right now. And that's the most high-profile one. So let's kind of see what happens, and maybe that changes or more names come out, and maybe this is far more wide-reaching than I ever thought. The last thing that I'll say on this is this kind of activity has been going on well before sports betting was legal and will be going on for all of eternity because everyone's always looking, not everybody, but some people are always looking for an edge and looking for an extra way to make a quick buck, and this is obviously somewhere where you can make that happen. So there you go.
Well said.
Let me just ask you one more quick question. Do you think the leagues are going to take a deeper dive into prop bets and maybe ask their partners to say, hey, guys, let's chill out on these prop bets because they're just too easy? Does that make sense?
Easy to manipulate.
Easy to manipulate.
Yeah.
I don't have a good answer to that question. I would say probably not. I feel like it's a huge moneymaker.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's within the realm of possibility. You know, my senses, and I can be wrong, that you would need more than just this to happen. Like, I think you would need, like, LeBron to get arrested. Or, like, Patrick Mahomes to get arrested. And I'm not implying that that would ever happen.
Right.
I'm just saying. I think that you need something, like, worse than Terry Rozier dribbling the ball off his knee in, like, the fourth quarter of a blowout to be like, okay, like, we're going to overhaul all of this. I think there's, candidly... And look, like, this is not a political statement. Like, guns are very, it's not political. Guns are very divisive, but it's a billion-dollar industry. And when there's money involved, there's always reticence to change things. Same thing with alcohol. Marijuana is a huge moneymaker for these states. Like, when there's so much money involved in a capitalist society, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, just saying, like, I'm kind of hesitant to say, like, there's going to be a sweeping overhaul until something more significant happens. I hope that what I'm saying is fair and people understand that it's not a politically charged comment.
So all that said, how do you like the Browns in New England this week against the Patriots?
Yeah, it's a great question, right? So New England looks awesome. Drake May looks awesome. They've won three straight road games. They've covered all the spreads in these games. Coming home a 7-point favorite against the Browns. I thought Mike Vrabel, guys, Patriots head coach, said something very interesting yesterday when talking to the press, and it's something that we had talked about on Tuesday's edition of my show, You Better You Bet, which is okay, great. Like, we all think Drake May is awesome. I don't even think that's up for debate. Like, he's a great young quarterback, has the potential to be like a top five level quarterback. So we can acknowledge that that is true and that the Patriots have been impressive, and also say that the Cleveland Browns defense is going to be, by orders of magnitude probably, the best defense that the Patriots will have placed. Week one, Raiders, terrible defense. Week two, Dolphins, terrible defense. Week three, Steelers, like, probably terrible defense. Week four, Panthers. Week five, Bills, can't stop the run. Week six, Saints. Week seven, Titans. The Browns are by far the best defense they face. Now, maybe the Patriots are just good enough to be able to win this game by margin. I would probably opt towards take it. It's not one of my favorite bets, and I haven't bet it yet. If I had to bet the game, honestly, I'd actually think I'd take the points with the Browns and trust the Browns defense to be able to hold down Drake May and this Patriots offense.
I'm looking at this matchup between the Browns and the Patriots too, and I'm trying to get a little bit deeper into it. And you try to look at the AFC North in general, and that's kind of where I want you to go with this too, is when you size it up, look, if Green Bay pulls off the win at Pittsburgh, which I didn't realize they haven't done since Bart Starr was quarterback. If Green Bay pulls off the win at Pittsburgh, all of a sudden, and say the Browns do get a win at New England, man, no. That AFC North no. just no. That's not going to happen?
Okay. For the Browns?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it changes. I know you're saying that, but doesn't it change the look of the AFC North when the Browns are like, you're literally a game and a half behind the Steelers now?
Yes and no. So if the Browns win and the Steelers lose, then yes, mathematically what you're saying is correct, that they will be X number of games back in the standings. I'm not trying to be like the wet blanket here,
sure,
or like throw cold water on people trying to have fun. But look, I try to give objective analysis. I don't think the Browns want to win. So they're not tanking. I'm not insinuating that the players are trying to lose or the coaches are trying to lose. I said it since before the start of the season. I think it's pretty obvious that organizationally the team is playing for 2026 and beyond, and I actually think that's smart. So I don't even mean that as a criticism. How the hell is a team quarterbacked by Dylan Gabriel getting over the hump? And you can think that's mean, and that's fine. I'm calling it like I see it. I am unwilling to entertain a possibility that the Browns win the division. I can be wrong. I guess crazier things have happened. Yes, the AFC North can constrict a little bit and tighten a little bit, and maybe you could have some hope that the Browns can make a run. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't even want to entertain a scenario where it does happen. I think it's so far outside the realm of something that's actually normal that could exist that I don't even really want to discuss it. You can make a case for the three other teams. I don't think you can make a case for the Browns. And if I'm wrong, and 3 weeks, 6 weeks down the road, that's not the case, I will gladly come on this show, my show, and every other show I'm on and say I was wrong. I will say it if I'm wrong. I think I'm going to be right.
We will make a Baskin and Phelps t-shirt that we will make you wear. We don't have any, but if we do.
Yeah, if we ever come up with one, you're getting one.
Yeah, otherwise, you win a free bag of air, all of our other colors.
I will wear it, and it can say, Nick Costos was wrong, and underneath the Baskin and Phelps show logo. I will wear it for you guys.
The Cavaliers went to New York last night and lost to the Knicks. Did we learn anything from one game where a bunch of guys were injured?
Yeah, so I'd say this about just what I'd say about the Knicks. I don't know if we're not going to learn about the Cavs until the playoffs. I think Cleveland is going to be the one or the two seed in the East pending health. They're going to win a ton of games. They're awesome, right? The Cavs are awesome. But, when they get into crunch time in a big playoff series, Indiana won't be there obviously this year, but, I think there's going to be a lot of reservations for people. I'm sure Cleveland and otherwise sports bettors, do you trust the Cavaliers to win a big playoff series with the way some of these past series have gone? So for Cleveland, I'm reticent to say kind of like we learned something about the Cavs last night. Like, okay, like they lost on the road at a team that's also really good. I don't think that's like a big black mark against the Cavs. I don't think we'll learn about the Cavs, unfortunately, until we get to like the second rounds of the playoffs. I do think we learned something about the Knicks, and I don't want to make this like too Knicks-centric on a Cleveland show, but I think there is like a Cleveland tie-in given that the Knicks coach is a former Cavs coach and Mike Brown. I do like the new look of this Knicks offense. They played 11 guys in the first 13 minutes of the game, which obviously runs in contrast to Tom Thibodeau running the starters into the ground. I thought this was an excellent first game for Mike Brown as the coach of the Knicks. I think these are clearly the two best teams in the East that played last night. Does the fact that the Knicks won mean they're better than the Cavs? No, but as a Knicks fan, I'm happy with how it went. I would not panic at all if I were a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, Darius Garland didn't play, Mitchell Robinson didn't play, Josh Hart didn't play. The Cavs will be just fine moving forward.
All right. Thank you very much, Nick. We look forward to inventing our own T-shirt to hopefully maybe you'll have to wear that. That would mean the ultimate in optimism. Say goodbye, my friend.
Yeah, and I will wear that shirt. If the Browns win the AFC North, I will gladly say I was wrong.
You
wishing
wear
everyone minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very
I was going to say you have to wear the shirt for a month straight and not take it off. How's that sound?
Well, I'm married, so you'd have to have a conversation with my wife.
Oh, that's true. You have kids, too. All right. Say it again. Say goodbye one more time. Sorry.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Thank you, Nick. We always appreciate you.
Thanks, Nick.
Take care, bud. Cavaliers last night. Again, if anything else breaks in this betting gambling scandal for the NBA, we will have it. I'm assuming the league is going to have some sort of statement at some point today. Don't you think? Is that fair? I don't think that I'm asking for anything outrageous. The league's going to have to say something.
There's an assumption on your part.
Could you imagine if the league doesn't say anything today about this?
You and I both know what they'll say.
It's an ongoing investigation. We have our own investigation going on as well. But they're going to have to say, I mean, it's not like Chauncey Billups can go back out there and coach right now.
You would think they would, yes.
Indefinitely suspended is probably what we'll get for anybody who's currently active with the NBA, right? I think it's if they want to do an investigation.
Insert our own bit of knowledge here based on
history.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And yes, you would be correct.
Okay.
However, doesn't necessarily hold true. I would think it does, but not necessarily.
If I'm the owners of this league, everyone is on the commissioner's phone today.
If Chauncey Billups isn't involved in betting on the NBA, then does he need to be suspended?
I think it depends on their investigation to find
administrative
out.
Administrative leave.
There you go. There you go. That's a much better way.
Might be a better idea.
216-474-0092. Let's actually get into the game that we watched last night, which was our plan right out of the gate here today until all this other stuff started to break. Jeff, I don't know what I saw last night with so many guys being hurt.
Yeah.
I do know I saw a pretty good game with a lot of fans, a lot of stars on the sidelines. And then I watched our team just continue to roll on the floor on the fourth quarter after having this really nice comeback where they were down, 15? And then they took a one-point lead. And then all of a sudden, the offense went to, hey, get the ball across midcourt, take a shot. I don't know if anybody's ready for a rebound or not. Boom, miss. They did have open looks, which I do understand taking the shot. But, man, they just seemed to be in a big hurry to take a lot of threes. And I don't, you know, when we heard the one Kenny Atkinson huddle where he said, you know, let it fly at the end, I was okay with that, but I was also watching Donovan Mitchell just tear it up in the third quarter. Yet after they took the timeout, his last two shots of the quarter, I thought he looked extremely tired from having to carry the team on his back in the third quarter to get him back in the game. And that I know he wanted to shoot. He had the hot hand, and it was hard to argue against that. But it just seemed like they could have moved the ball a little bit better late, very late in the third and in the fourth. It made this thing a little bit closer than it was. And again, I realize it's the first game of the season, and I'm breaking it down probably harder than we ever will any other game this season.
Yeah, but know why? That's what we do, Andy.
I know. But, Jeff, do you agree with me? I'm like, I get it. They were open on some of these threes, but, I mean, just even they weren't looking for the pass. They weren't looking to get the ball down low to the big guys. And, again, that to me, what did Evan take last night? 18 shots?
Is that right? Except for one thing. 13 of them came in the first half.
Yeah, and their free throws were abysmal when they were in clutch yesterday.
This is a terrible game to analyze. Number one, a lot of guys were out, as we know. Number two, it's this. I loved that Evan Mobley was being, you know, really aggressive, getting his shot, doing his thing early on in the game. Loved it. I kind of liked the way that was looking, right?
Right.
problem was Cavs are down 10 after the first quarter. With him doing all that and it going pretty well, they're down by 15 points at halftime. So I thought, all right, that's kind of what we want to see, but it's not working right now. Third quarter happens, and they play the exact kind of basketball I just can't stand. Hey, Donovan, hero ball, go. He did. He was great. They caught up. I hate that style of ball. But they caught up and took the lead.
He was so on fire, though. Oh, you wanted to see him shoot.
He was so good. Yeah. They put up 37 points in the third quarter. But, and again, you can go paralysis by analysis, and we're going to, by God. Donovan Mitchell was great in the game, was he not?
Yes.
When he was
until he got tired at the end of the third. I thought he looked tired.
When he was on the floor, and again, plus minus, you can use it if you want it. You don't have to use it if you don't want it. When he was on the floor, the Cavs were outscored by 14 points. Isn't that weird?
Really?
Yeah. He had the worst plus minus in the game.
Yeah, I guess he did.
Minus 14.
Look at you using my own stat on me. You crushed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends. It's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Crush me on that. You crush me. That's my stat. That's my go-to stat on
plus
everything.
Plus minus is an interesting stat because I don't think you can put complete validity into it every game. But I do find it interesting that they were minus 14 when Donovan was on the floor last night. How the heck does that happen?
You question their defensive ability while he was on the floor. Whether it was him or not, the defensive ability of the team is on the line.
Maybe. Ken in Brooklyn made a great point, and people love bashing Jared Allen. And I know he was mic'd up last night and said some things, and people are all fired up. He got four shots. He's not the guy who gets the ball to himself. You know, you got to use these big guys. And Jared has enough of an offensive game where I'd love to see him taking 8 to 12 shots a game. And he took four, and he had 4 points. Well, that, okay. You're missing DeAndre. You're missing Darius. You're missing Max Strus. Well, use one of your guys. Use him. And Evan Mobley getting 5 shots in the second half is criminal. That said, look what happened in the third quarter. Donovan took over. He was hot, took shots like crazy, and they got back into the game. So this was bad. This was good. This was good. This was bad. And they're all intermeshed. And a terrible game to analyze, especially with so many guys out. One thing I do think we take out of this,
okay,
and it's not a Cavs thing, it's a Knicks thing. They're going to play a little different style under Mike Brown than they did under Tom Thibodeau, and they're going to be more up-tempo, and they're going to play a more NBA, modern NBA, current NBA style offense.
Compared to what Mike used to?
Compared to what Mike did in Cleveland and compared, because Mike did this in Sacramento. You know, Mike sat there with Steve Kerr for a while and watched what a wide open offense looks like and has incorporated some of that into his coaching. And I think it will make the Knicks a better team. And my guess is they'll still retain more than enough of the defensive principles that Thibodeau put in for them and that Mike used to really hang his hat on. And I think the Knicks will be a better team than they were last year.
What did you like about the Cavaliers last night?
I loved Evan Mobley in the first half, but when that was going well, they were down by 15. So, and I hated that he got only five shots in the second half. You know, and I hated that Jared Allen got only four shots. And I liked Sam Merrill. Sam can shoot. I like watching guys who know how to shoot, shoot. I don't like watching guys who don't know how to shoot, shoot. And there's way too much of that in the NBA.
I'm curious, how do you like watching Lonzo Ball shoot? We've never had this discussion.
Well, I've not seen enough of him in a Cavs uniform. We've seen him, you know, for one game that matters. Lonzo's never been a great shooter. What he is a really well-rounded NBA player. And if he can, you know, guys have bad shooting nights, Andy. If he can find his shot a little bit and score a little bit, he might not have the knees to do anything other than be a spot-up shooter anymore. You know?
He did have six assists last night, though.
Yeah, I love that, don't you?
Yeah, no, I totally do.
I mean, from an offensive standpoint, though, he might not, he just might not have the physical ability to be a big-time scorer. Not that he ever was, but he, you know, some points in his career, he was.
He still had 23 minutes last night,
But I like having him on the team. And I think he's going to be a great addition to the backcourt. I really do.
All right, let's take a couple phone calls real quick. Let's go to Isaac in Shaker. Hi, Isaac. How are you?
Hello, Isaac.
Hello, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. Well, how are you?
Good. Hey, yeah, Cavaliers got a lot going on.
Isaac.
Isaac, you still there?
You there?
Isaac, I'll throw you on hold. Mark is in Cleveland. Hi, Mark.
Fellas.
Hi, Mark.
And I was kind of disappointed yesterday. I mean, I thought that Mobley would have excelled with Garland and being out. You know, but this guy, I mean, and it's going to be the same scenario.
Well, he did in the first half.
And I'm about to tell you about that, Jeff.
Go.
I know it's going to be the same thing as it was last year. Evan's not shooting the ball enough. We're not getting the ball. But the guy touched it 12 more times than what's his name? Than the other guy, man.
Mitchell?
He touched it 88 times, Jeff. Mitchell touched it 76 times.
He took 18 shots. He's on his way. I like it. I just think he should have taken more shots in the second half.
And see, that gotta be the thing. He has to take more shots because he's getting the ball. He touched it more than anybody yesterday. So he got to be more assertive. And that's what I'm disappointed about on that kind of stage with Garland not there. You touch the ball more than anybody, and you still not shooting. That's the whole thing about him, man. He's not aggressive enough, and he's not doing his thing. And it's going to be the same thing. Everybody's going to say it. Hey, we got to give him the ball more. He only took this many shots. He has to start shooting it. And that's what I was disappointed about.
He shot it 13 times in the first half, 5 in the second. I agree. I'd like to see him shoot more in the second half. But the one thing to remember, though, Mark, just because a guy touches the ball, I mean, did you play junior high ball? Did you play high school ball? In that situation, if a guy did all that, it's this. Okay, you pass that ball to the guy, and he shoots. Oh, what's that? That's a ball hog. What do? You don't give him the ball.
Yeah.
So that's not what Evan Mobley is going to do. You know, part of being a good offensive player is moving the basketball and getting good shots, not just jacking up shots.
Yeah, I thought that was the frustrating part of watching the game yesterday, too. They work so hard to get back in the game, and then all of a sudden in the fourth, and again, I know this isn't the team that's going to lead you to the promised land because they had so many injuries, but I was looking for just a little bit more patience in the fourth quarter on the offensive set. Let's get across the line, let's jack it up.
You're missing three rotational players, and two of them are going to be out for a little bit longer, obviously, Darius and Max Strus. So they're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you are. These are vital games that you want to win.
I don't know. You're not going to start
this season 15-0.
No.
You could start at 14-1.
Oh, there you go. The optimist. A couple things. Obviously, the big story in the NBA, the gambling probe, and there are like two stories that go to that. If anything else happens, we will get you up to speed on that. Obviously, it was the big news of the morning. And again, listen to our 2020 updates, and they'll tell you what's going on with that. We're just now kind of getting into the Cavaliers game last night where they lost 119-111. Cavaliers, you know, they came back, they were down 15. You were like, wow, they're back in this thing. And then you got, you know, you're riding the wave. And then when it's all said and done, you're like, ah, I wish they would have won, but they didn't. 119-111 again, the final in this thing. And there were just things that were a little bit annoying to me, I think, especially late in the game, that it was just so, yeah, they had open looks. I get it, but I still think they could have moved the ball around a little bit more, especially in that fourth quarter. Donovan Mitchell, 31 points last night. Evan Mobley, 22. Sam Merrill with 19. Nance and Wade also in double figures for last night's game. Jeff, so again, big picture, what did we learn last night from last night?
Oh, I can throw out some big generalizations. You want me to?
Yeah, go
for it. Because it was one game and your guys were injured, numerous guys. So I don't think you can get too specific. I'll give you some generalizations. I don't like hero ball, and I don't think it works. So even though Donovan got you back into the game, you lost the game. Because I agree with you, Andy. In the second half, I don't think you moved the ball very well. And you lost your offense, and it was a little not smooth. How's that? Yeah. Evan Mobley, Tim Legler, and Richard Jefferson, in the first half when he was doing what he was doing, they were drooling over his game. I know Mark in Cleveland has been on us since for 2 years. You know, well, he touches the ball all the time. He needs to shoot more. You don't just jack up shots. And we all know what happens when guys just start jacking up shots. It's usually not good.
Right.
Because you're not doing it in the flow of the offense. What did Kenny Atkinson do so well last year? He put in an offense. It was beautiful. The ball moved. They shared the ball. Donovan Mitchell rarely took as many shots as he took last night. He took 25 shots. Well, Darius was out. Max Strus is out. DeAndre Hunter's out. Felt the need to get back in the game. That's what they did. I don't think that recipe works regularly.
Sure.
So that I just want to see him move the ball more, and I want to see Evan. If he can take 18 shots a game, that's great. That's perfect. But, boy, I think you could have used him in the second half, and he only got 5 shots. Some of it on him, some of it on the coaching, some of it on his teammates. I like Max Strus shooting the basketball. Excuse me, Sam Merrill shooting the basketball. 5 of 10 on threes. I won't call it a Kyle Korver release, but he's got a pretty quick release on that three. Kyle Korver has the quickest release I think I've ever seen in my life. But Sam gets it and shoots it. And I like it. And I hope he gets some significant minutes this year.
Let's go Cool Ray in Bedford. Hi, Cool Ray.
Hi, Cool Ray. Hi, Cool Ray.
Cool Ray, we gave it our best effort. All right, I'll put you on hold. I'm in a good mood today.
There's Isaac back in Shaker.
All right, let's give Isaac another shot. Isaac, you back?
All right, it's on our end.
Is it me? Dan, you try to pick it up. Go for it.
Hung up on poor Isaac again.
Go, let's go Chuck in Cleveland, line 5.
Hello, Chuck.
Chuck, you there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Phonageddon.
Interesting. Seems weird. It's not me. Oh, look who's on it. All right, we got to get a technician on it.
Call the engineering staff. Here we go. What kind of a challenge do you think it's going to be for this team this year? Because last year, they were the nice little team that everybody loved because they got hot. They had a new coach who came in with the whole Steve Kerr aura from Golden State. And you win 15 straight and you're kicking butt all year long. Do you think people are going to be teams around the NBA? A, gearing up for them? Fans?
Yes.
B, expectations through the roof?
Yes, I think they've got the bullseye on them right now. I think that everyone around the league is saying, A, I think the East is wide open. We think the Cavs are a pretty good regular season team. We probably played them pretty tough last year, but the Cavaliers pulled away in the end. You know, they were healthy last year. They got us. I just think a lot of teams from around the NBA are looking and saying, you know, they got us at the right time. We weren't healthy when they got us last year, and that's why they were so successful. And now you put it in a situation where all these teams are now gunning for the Cavaliers, and they're going to get everybody's best. Mm-hmm. I think that teams, especially the games that are now on national TV, I mean, they're all over the place between, I don't know, the 5 different networks you can pick them up on. What, ABC, ESPN, Peacock, NBC, who else am I sure forgetting one other one?
The Bonanza Channel.
Sure, the Bonanza Channel. Yeah.
You know, one other thing I really liked last night?
Channel Zero.
Yeah. I like this a lot. We'll see how it progresses. Larry Nance Jr. played only 17 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not what I liked. In 17 minutes, Larry had 10.6 rebounds and an assist. Larry's the kind of player. Hey, what do we need tonight? We need some points. Okay, I can give you some points. You need more D? I can give
and
you
and hustle.
D.
Like, I thought he gave them hustle last
night. He always does.
Yeah.
I think Larry is the type of guy that you want in your rotation. You want him in your rotation. And that's why he's going to get some minutes. He should. I think he's a real, real knowledgeable NBA player.
There are things about last night that I liked. Obviously, I love the comeback. And, it's weird because you're talking about playing Euro ball, but you're watching and you're hooked in the third quarter. You're like, man, I want to see Mitchell touch the ball again. Is he going to miss? Is he going to miss? Is he going to miss? And all of a sudden, it took till the very end of the quarter until he started to miss. How good are the Knicks? That was what I was also trying to figure out, knowing that they're also missing players last night. I mean, how good are the Knicks?
I think they can be better under Mike Brown. Keyword is can be. I don't necessarily. I thought they did a great job under Tom Thibodeau. I thought Thibodeau was a good coach. I think Tibbs is a better coach than Mike, at least the Mike that we've seen in the past. In New York, perhaps he's able to take stuff that he picked up at Golden State, good stuff that he picked up in Sacramento when he never should have been let go. That was silly. Mike shouldn't have been let go in Sacramento. And can bring it to New York on a big stage, and he's been on a big stage before. He's a former coach of the Lakers.
Sure.
Had LeBron here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big stage. And make it work in New York. Their goal is pretty simple, Andy. Wait, Boston? It's the same as the Cavs.
Yeah.
Boston's not here? Oh, good. No Indy? Good. We're going to the NBA Finals. That's the thought.
It's fair. It's fair. That was my big thing. I was like trying to figure out, okay, I know the Cavaliers are shorthanded, and I know they can be a better team than we saw last night, but what am I watching for when I'm, what's Jalen Brunson going to do? Was it Lisa Salters was doing sidelines last night?
It was, and boy, did they have nice lighting on their sideline camera last night.
Is that what you noticed?
Yeah, not just Lisa, but the players. I thought, boy, that's a good-looking camera shot.
Like, she asked him a question about the excitement of New York and the locker room and stuff like that. And I was like, Tibbs is gone now. Mike Brown's there. They looked at 1,000 different coaches. And she made the locker room sound like there was all this great energy in it. Like they were so... And I was just kind of like...
Maybe there was.
I don't know. I don't know what... little things become big things in New York, obviously.
As I said, I think Tom Thibodeau's a good coach. And that said, does Tom look like the kind of guy who would bring joy to the locker room?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Will Mike? I don't know. Maybe. And we'll see. But I think Mike has become a better coach, and I think he got a really raw deal when he got let go in Sacramento. And we'll see if he's able to pick up from where he left off in Sacramento and move on from there and see what we get.
Huh. All right, let's try the phones again. Daryl's in Solon. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Loving every minute of it. That's how he is.
All right. We gave it our best effort. So you got one game down. I don't know. It's not the end of the world. I just
wish... no, that's because it's one game.
Yeah. I know. You wish that, you want them to come out and win the first game of the season, especially when it's at New York. It's on national TV. You're like, okay, they can, let's make a little bit of a statement, but then you're trying to weigh it out. And then the other part is does it really matter? That's the hard part. Like last year, we were so excited about the way they were getting on these streaks and the regular season was awesome. And this is, look at this coach of the year. Guy comes right in here. Boom. He turns the whole, everything's moving in the right direction. Then you get to the playoffs. The other thing that I think that you look at when they play the Knicks is how hard are they going to play? Are we going to be talking about big guys down low? Are we going to be questioning how tough the Cavaliers are in these games? I think that's the other point, especially when you're playing the Knicks for what happened 2 years ago. Should we be concerned about that? Should we worry about that? Should we expect more out of Jared Allen?
Well, get him the ball. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, that's people, I think casual basketball fans, and I honestly think most people are casual basketball fans, most, look at a box score, watch a game, and think, well, he didn't do anything. Jared Allen's job is not to score 25 points a game. Jared's job is to go out and play really good defense, keep the ball moving, and score when you get the opportunity to score. That's part of his job. And you can be a really good basketball player and not score 25 points a game, you know? But if you're a team and you have guys like Jared who have overall skills, it's up to you. It's up to the guards to get guys like that involved because they don't handle the ball. They can't pass it to themselves. That's where we've gone back to two guards, Andy, where you have, you know, Darius and Donovan.
Right.
And, okay, they have the ball. It's up to them if they want to share it or not, right?
Yeah.
Last night in the third, Donovan didn't share it very much. And guess what? He got it back into the game.
He did.
So though we'd like to see him share the ball, what he did worked. So just keep in mind, the end result, it's a team type of deal, and you want guys to play their roles effectively. And this team did a really good job of that last year, and I hope they do it again.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.